Well, I thought, seeing as we're having lunch together today following the service, it might be good to begin the message this morning with some details in regard to dining etiquette. Now, obviously, if you've ever traveled to another country, you're keenly aware of the fact that different cultures have different expectations, and really this is only one of many, but how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, in what order to eat, all of these, if done outside the cultural norms of society, can often be considered to be quite offensive. Now, for most of us, we probably haven't given a whole lot of thought to this because typically our eating habits just come naturally to us. I mean, my mom taught me as a child what was appropriate, and so that's what I do, right? And so obviously I'm sure that must be right. But interesting, I found a website this past week for international travelers to Canada. If you live in another culture and you're coming to Canada, you go to this website, and on there, they list things that are unique to Canadian dining. Things that, as a visitor to Canada, you need to know. Okay, so let me just give you a few of their examples. Number one, in Canada, your consumption of food should not be noisy. Noodles, soups, and drinks are not to be slurped. When eating, you don't bend your head down toward your plate and just pull your pasta in, kind of suck it in like a Hoover vacuum. Okay, you don't do that. That's maybe appropriate in some cultures, but in Canada, not here, all right? Also, soup bowls are meant to stay firmly planted on the table. In Canada, we have a spoon for that. And so that'll maybe help you in regard to lunch. Number two, chew with your mouth closed is the general rule in Canada. When eating with a group, this is really important for today, okay? When eating with a group, if someone is speaking directly to you, it's considered rude to put food into your mouth while the person's speaking. That other person should, they deserve your full attention. Now, if you already have food in your mouth, what do I do then? But I'm already eating and he started to talk. What do I do? Well, it says, keep chewing so that you will be ready to respond then at the appropriate time. In contrast to other cultures, additional food should not be placed into the mouth while you're still chewing the previous bite. Make sure that one's gone first. It's also considered offensive in Canada to be finished your meal too much ahead of other people at the table. So pace your consumption accordingly. You don't want to make that other person feel bad that, you know, has a heaping plate like I might. And so slow down with your little salad there. Number three, salt and pepper shakers are to be passed together. Even if you only ask for one, they go together. Here's one that's interesting, actually, a difference between Canada and the U.S. when it comes to eating. I didn't even realize there was any differences, but apparently so. In Canada, the right hand holds the knife, and the left hand holds what's being cut with the fork. So you hold it with the left, you cut it with the right, and then you take this left hand that has the fork, you pick that piece up, and you put it directly into your mouth. Cut one piece at a time. You don't cut 10 pieces, you cut one piece, and you pick it up gently with the fork, put that into your mouth. In the U.S., the food is cut the same way, but did you know this? It's considered offensive to bring the food to your mouth with that left hand. So you have to do a switch, and so the knife and fork, you always, I don't know how they do it exactly, but they're switching it back and forth. So you cut it like this, and then you have to switch tools so you can pick it up with your right hand. Okay, so if you're in the U.S., there's a heads up. Maybe you can make some new friends down there. So that's the guidelines for eating lunch today, okay? And just so you know, God is always watching you. So I just give you that heads up. But seriously, isn't it interesting the lengths that we will go to in order to not offend when it comes to eating? I mean, most of us here, I think, would say, you know what, I don't want to be seen as rude when it comes to eating. I don't want to offend the people at my table. I want to do what is appropriate, what's culturally acceptable. But I wonder, why is that? Why are we concerned about offending others? I mean, clearly, you're free to eat however you want to eat, right? You can do it in whatever format you want. I mean, apart from a parent teaching a child, there's no one forcing you to use a fork. There's no one going to hold your mouth shut. You can cut your meat however you want. I mean, bottom line, we are completely free in this area of our lives. I can do whatever I want to do. I might even go so far as to say, you know what? It's my right to eat however I choose to eat. In fact, you're not going to tell me how to eat. I'm going to choose how I want to eat. That's my right. I have my rights. You say, Jim, why are we talking about this exactly? Well, I think you'll understand in a moment. Why don't you get hold of a Bible and open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Get into the New Testament, the four Gospels, Acts, Romans. Then you're into 1 Corinthians. I encourage you to pick up a pew Bible if you don't have one with you there. Good to have God's Word open on your knee. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me just give you a little bit of context here. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth in this letter. And the discussion that we just had around food, he's basically had something very similar with them. You see, for the church at Corinth, it wasn't so much how you ate, but what you ate. Not so much how you ate, but what you ate. And he has this whole discussion there in chapter 8. And when it comes to something called food that's been sacrificed to an idol, there's been this big controversy about, you know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is it okay for me to eat that particular food? Okay to eat or not? And so all through 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is saying, look, there's nothing inherently wrong with food. It's just food. Don't worry about it. It's just food. When it comes to your rights, you're free to eat whatever you choose to eat. It's only food. God made it all. You're free to eat. But listen, he says, if eating that food ruins your witness to a Jewish person who that would offend, or if eating that food pushes someone else away from Christ, if eating what is offensive to someone else, if that's going to cause an issue when it comes to sharing Christ with that person, then stop doing it. That's what he says. Now, we just finished up a series this past week on living free, and clearly, as believers, we are free. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. So that's our position. That's our standing. As believers, we've been set free. And in fact, Paul says here later on in chapter 10, he says, everything is permissible to me. What can you do, Paul? I can do anything I want because I've been set free. So really what I want to know then, in light of that, in light of the fact that we've been set free by Jesus Christ, how should I live then? I mean, my position is one of freedom. How should I live? How should I exercise that freedom? Especially when the Bible doesn't clearly state whether something is right or wrong, how should I choose in those situations? It's like when what I'm doing doesn't really feel right, but I've got no verse saying it's wrong. What do I choose? You know, this isn't outside of God's Word. It doesn't feel quite right. I'm free to choose, but what should I choose? What should I choose in this situation? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's begin here, chapter 9, verse 19. I'm just going to read through these verses, and then we'll come back and talk about them for a few minutes. Now, I know it says in your bulletin there, verses 19 to 27. I've actually decided to split this message in the middle. We're only going to verse 23 today. We'll catch up the rest in a couple of weeks. And just for those of you who may be concerned, that has nothing to do with people-pleasing that we talked about 2 weeks ago, okay? I just want to be done before 2 o'clock so we can have some lunch. So you can relax about that. We're going 19 to 23. Let's just read this. It says, though I am free, Paul talking to the Corinthians, he says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. He says, I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So what should I do with my freedom? How should I choose when God's word isn't specific to this situation? How do I know what is right or wrong? What should I do? Well, notice verse 19. He says, though I am free and belong to no man. Now get that. That's our position. We are free. We're free in Christ. We're not bound by human ritual or custom or even tradition. Just because my mom did it like that doesn't mean that I have to do that necessarily. I don't have to come to church on a Sunday. Doesn't say that specifically in God's word. Clearly, I'm to come to church. That's clear, but it doesn't give the exact day that I'm to gather, 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It doesn't say that anywhere. We don't have to have Sunday school an hour before church starts. We don't have to sing contemporary songs. We don't have to sing hymns. We don't have to have prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're to pray together, no doubt about it, but it doesn't say anywhere that we have to do that on Wednesday night. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but what I want you to see is that those things aren't dictated to us in Scripture. No, Paul says, I'm free. I belong to no man. That is my position. Friends, listen, you need to get that. That's the beginning point for freedom in Christ. I'm free. I'm not bound by that. Whether that rubs some of you the wrong way this morning or not, I'm sorry if it does, but it's the truth of God's word. We are not bound by human tradition. And unless we have a chapter and a verse, we need to be really careful about saying it has to be done this way. But wait. Wait a minute. Notice what Paul does with that freedom. That's his position. Now watch what he does. He says, though I am free and I belong to no man, even though that's my position, Paul says, I make myself a slave to everyone. In other words, listen, even though I am completely free within the limits of God's word to worship, to live, to do whatever I want to do in my daily life within the limits of God's word, however I want to do that, Paul says, that is my position, it's my right. In this context, even though I'm free to eat whatever I want to eat, still, he says, I make myself a slave to everyone. That's my position, but with that, I make myself a slave to everyone. That word slave there means literally to give myself fully to the needs and service of another. In other words, Paul says, even though my position is one of freedom, even though it's my right to do what I want, what I like, even though that's my position, in practice, he says, I surrender those things, I surrender my rights, I surrender my freedoms for the sake of others. You say, Paul, why would you do that? Why would you do that, Paul? I mean, think about it. He says, to the Jew, I became like a Jew. Paul says, to those under the law, I became like one under the law. Paul, you've been freed from all of that. Why would you do that? Why would you choose that? You said yourself, you're no longer under the law. You're free from that. So why would you surrender your new freedoms in Christ, Paul? Why would you surrender those to those people? Especially when it comes to how you do church and your religious system, Paul. You know all about the bondage of Judaism and you've been set free from that. Why go back to that? I mean, Acts 21 tells us that even after Paul was saved, when he went up to Jerusalem to the temple, he went into the temple, he went through the purification baths, he did the whole deal there in Jerusalem. He didn't have to do that as a follower of Jesus Christ. He wasn't under the law. Why would he? It says in Acts 16:3, he even took Timothy, a grown man, and had him circumcised. And yet later on, he tells the Galatians, he says, look, guys, circumcision is meaningless. So Paul, why did you do that? Why did you put poor Timothy through all of that? And Paul's like, you want to know why? I'll tell you why I did it. He says, I make myself a slave to everyone. What's it say? Why does he do it? You tell me. To win as many as possible. Friends, listen, you want to know what drove the Apostle Paul? I'm telling you, this is the bullseye right here. This is the bullseye right here. Listen, Paul's one desire in life was to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I'll do whatever it takes to accomplish that, to win as many as possible. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll become whatever I need to become. I will be flexible in my approach. I'll be flexible in my religious system. I'll do whatever it takes to win people to Christ. And if I need to play baseball to win the baseball team, I'll do that. If I need to refuse eating that to win those people, I'll refuse eating it. If that'll help that guy come to the Lord, I will do whatever I need to do. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. To win as many as possible. 5 times in 4 verses he says that. To win the Jews, to win the weak, to win, to win. To win. Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Paul had that tattooed on his arm, that verse. To win souls, he who wins souls is a wise person. Oh, how we need to pray that God would give us that desire. It's our mission statement here at Heise Hill to make fully functioning followers of Jesus Christ. But I wonder, how far are we willing to go to accomplish that? Paul says, to the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. He's talking about Jewish people in general there. For us, it's the guy that would probably classify himself as a Christian because he lives in Canada, but they're non-practicing. It doesn't really mean anything. And Paul says, in that situation, I don't act inferior. I take that person to the hockey game. We go out for lunch. I'll do whatever I need to do to gain a hearing with that person. I don't try to act inferior with them. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. In other words, Paul says, I'm no longer bound by tradition and ceremony. He's referring to practicing Jews there, okay, Judaism, that religious system. And he says, even though I'm not bound by that, even though I don't have to do that, still, when I'm with those people, I will do whatever it takes to not offend them. Romans 10:1, he really shares his heart for the people of Israel. He says, brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. That's these ones. That's these ones under the law. It's like the person today who has been coming to church for years. And they love the church. They love their religious system. They love the old hymns of the church. They're all about ritual and tradition and keeping all of those things. But listen, they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And loved one, don't kid yourselves. Churches are full of people like that today. I can guarantee it. And Paul says, I long to introduce those people to Jesus Christ. I long for them to get the reality of a relationship with Jesus. And so I'm willing to work within that system if it means that I can accomplish that. I'll respect their traditions. If it means gaining a hearing for the gospel, I will do that. Yet I was reading a story the other day about a pastor in the U.S. that was bragging about the growth of his church. And he said, oh yeah, he said, when I came, we just changed everything. He said, we lost 300 of the old people, but I'm telling you, we gained 1,000. And he was so proud of that fact. And when I read that story, I thought, yeah, but what about those 300 people? What about those 300 people that have been so offended that they may never step foot inside a church again? What about them? I realize we can't please everyone all the time, but listen, I believe with all my heart that there is room enough in the church for everyone. For everyone. And for those who choose to worship in a more traditional fashion, friends, listen, we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of that. Paul would have been. Paul says, I'll do whatever it takes to win as many as possible. To those under the law, to those bound by tradition, to those who need that, I became as one under the law. I'm willing to meet them where they are. But notice also, he says this, verse 21. He says, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I'm not free of God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those. Why did you do that, Paul? I did it so as to win those not having the law. The group that he's talking about there is the Gentiles. We'd call them the unchurched today. And Paul says, when I'm with them, I do what I can to fit in. I do what I can to fit in with that group. I don't try and pretend that I'm some goody-two-shoes that would never step to their level. I don't try and pretend like I've got some great thing and you poor guys, you're just missing it. I don't ram the gospel down their throat. I don't try and beat them over the head with the Bible. I don't start out by saying, oh, you guys are such heathens, you know that? And start quoting Bible verses to them. No, Paul says, I start by talking about things that interest them. I become involved in their lives. I meet those people where they are. When they come to visit me at church, I welcome them with open arms. Glad you're here. I drop the Christianese. I speak in a language that they can understand. I offer them a cup of coffee. I sing music that even though they may not exactly understand the lyrics, at least the sound will be somewhat familiar to them. Paul says, I do whatever it takes. I take them out for lunch. I let go of my family relationships in the church that are so easy to connect with those because it's so comfortable. And there's someone new, there's someone else, and you connect with that person. Paul says, that's what I do. That's what I do. You say, but why? Why do we have to do all? This is our church. Why do we have to do all that? Why can't they just learn to be like us? To do it the way that we do it? Why can't they learn our system? Well, let God's word speak for itself. Paul says, I make myself a slave to everyone, and I do it to win as many as possible. Loved ones, let me ask you this morning, how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go to see more of that happening in this place? How far are you willing to go? You see, I believe the answer to that should be whatever it takes. But my guess is most of us just aren't quite there yet. Clearly, that's Paul's challenge. Whatever it takes. He says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. You say, well, who are the weak? Well, the weak are the new babes in Christ, the new believers among us. And Paul says, in order to win them, in order to keep them going, I become as they are. I walk with them where they are. I get down on their level. I'll start telling them about all these rules and regulations that you need to do to fit in here. No. I begin where they are. I get down on their level. I walk with them. It's how Paul came to the Corinthians in the first place. Notice in chapter 2, he says, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. That's where he starts. He said, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Friends, listen, we need to continue doing that. We need to walk with people. We need to demonstrate to new believers what a believer looks like. What's it mean to follow Jesus Christ? Give them an example. Reminds me of the question, if you were charged in a court of law with being a follower of Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence for a conviction in your life? If that was the charge against you, you're a follower of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict? We need to be living out what we believe. Paul says, to the weak, I became weak. I got on their level. I walked with them. I tried to model Jesus Christ for them. I didn't get all over them. I just tried to live it out in front of them so they'd see by my example. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he says, brothers and sisters, take tender care of those who are weak. Take tender care of those who are weak. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. But again, Paul, my question is, why do you do all this? Why do you make yourself accountable to other people like that? I mean, we have our freedoms. Why can't we just be free to do it the way that we want to do it, Paul? Within the boundaries of Scripture. Why do we have to worry so much about how this impacts those? Notice Paul makes a statement here in verse 22 that I think just summarizes this so well. Paul says, I become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. You see, folks, bottom line, Paul was willing to do whatever it takes to win some, to see people saved. And in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we're going to talk more about why that is. I think in these next verses, Paul gives us some good motivation, some good perspective there, and we need that. But what I want to end with this morning is simply this. Are we as a church, are we willing to embrace what Paul is saying here? Now, clearly, he's not talking about compromising Scripture, okay? It's got nothing to do with that. Paul's message was always the same. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, you need Him, was always the same. It didn't matter who was there or anything else. That was never up for discussion. But friends, listen, how we present that to people is the question. How we present that message. That's the challenge of what he's saying to us here. You know, there's an interesting story, and I'll close with this. Interesting story in Acts 17. In fact, I encourage you to make note of that and read Acts 17 when you get home this afternoon. And you'll see what I'm talking about. But in this account of Paul's time there in the city of Athens, he does some things there that I think would really upset some church people today. And you'll get it if you read the chapter. You see, Paul, when he's there in the city of Athens, he spends some time studying the culture, studying what's going on in the world around him. And Paul actually goes to their places of worship. Now, you can argue that with me if you want, but how else did he find out what was written on their idols if he never looked at them? He knew what was written on their idols. He knew what was going on in their world. He even spent some time at the theater, listening to their poets. I believe in the context of Acts 17, if there were movies back then, Paul would have been there to watch the decent ones. Again, if you want to argue that point, that's fine, but you read God's word first. Why would he have done that? Because Paul is an observer of culture. He intentionally sought out points of connection with the people that surrounded him. That's how he knew how to reach out to the Jew. That's how he knew how to reach the Gentile. How do I relate to the Gentile if I don't know anything about their world? It's how he knew how to reach out to win that weak person. And in this account in Acts 17, get this, Paul even uses some of those things in the church service while he's preaching. He says, I was out the other day checking out one of your altars and I saw the words carved there to an unknown God. He said, let me tell you now about the God that you don't know yet. A little later on in the message, he runs the video clip. He says, check this out. Listen to what your own poets have said. And God allowed Paul to put those words in Scripture. They're in here. What the worldly poets said, he quotes them. They're right in God's Word. You see, friends, my point is, Paul was willing to use and do whatever it would take in order to package the truth of the gospel in a way that people would get it, in a way that unchurched people would get it. Why did he do that? Paul says, I'll tell you why. Because by all possible means, I want to see people saved. I want to see people saved. And folks, as we come to our annual meeting this afternoon, I believe those words should be ringing in our ears. By all possible means, that I might save some. By all possible means, Lord, that we could see people saved in this place. I remember about 2 years ago now, sitting with a group of people up home, and I was sharing my heart for the church. And I said to that group that was gathered there, I said, don't you want to see people coming to faith? Don't you want to see lives being changed, lives being transformed by the power of Jesus Christ? Don't you want to be making a difference in our community? Don't you want that? And everybody said, yeah, we want that. We want more of that in this church. We want to see people coming in. We want to see people saved. Yeah, we want more of that. But then when we begin to talk about what it might cost us personally, how we might have to give up some things that I really like about the way that we do church, that it might cost me something in regard to my time, that it might cost me something financially, that it might cost me something in regard to getting out of my comfort zone. Well, let me just say how interesting it is that Paul's words quickly lost their appeal with that group of people. See, we all want it. But when it comes down to, will I do whatever it takes? It's a different question. And so it's my challenge to each of us this morning, me included, that we begin to pray, Lord, help me to get to that place where I can honestly say, God, I will do whatever it takes to see people come to faith in you. God, put that burden on my heart. I want to see people saved. I want to win some, God. I want to see lives being changed in this place. Would you bow your heads and just pray that with me? Lord Jesus, I believe that's the desire of many, many hearts in this place. We do want to be making a difference for you. We do want to be in tune with you. We do want to be walking with you. We want to see people saved, Lord. We really do. We get excited when somebody comes to you. But Lord, when it comes to the cost, I pray that you would help that excitement to carry over into that. When it comes to the sacrifice, when it comes to the sacrifice, Lord, give us that desire, and it has to come from you. We can't work that up. We can't build that up. We don't get that by feeling guilty. Lord, that has to come through your Spirit impacting our hearts. And I just pray that that would be the case for everyone in this room today. Lord, that you would break our hearts for people who don't know you yet. And Lord, help us to get to that place where we can say, we'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Would you give us your heart for the world? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.